Hello, everyone, and thanks for coming in for this session. I wanted to thank you, Martha, for the remarks and really presented the macro issues affecting farm workers on a national level. And I also appreciated the remarks with the focus on the need for additional attention to indigenous farm workers that you mentioned a couple of times. And our work together focuses on indigenous farm workers in Oregon. It has been a growing population for the past 10, 15 years, really on the Pacific seaboard, longer than that. And as we have worked on this project, noticed in given presentations nationally that there is a presence of indigenous farm workers now not only recognized on the West Coast, but on the East Coast and elsewhere in the country. The project focuses on the training available to farm workers in occupational health and safety, and my talk here focuses on the knowledge among indigenous farm workers that we tested through the project here. The two individuals that you see, their pictures are a couple of the community educators who have been on the staff since 2004, I think, and in the partner organization and ours at the Oregon Law Center. No relation. The presentation will touch briefly on the demographics of indigenous farm workers. I think by now most people are familiar, but just in case, we have a little bit of information on that. Then I'd like to touch on the project partnership in the two phases that we've worked on, and then highlight the knowledge test with indigenous farm workers in the first year of testing. Indigenous people in Mexico have a sizable population still of at least 12 million. And the people that we see working in the fields on the West Coast are largely from the state of Oaxaca. They're darkened on the map. There are, of course, other states in southern states in Mexico that are sending communities for workers in the United States. What's important to remember about working or providing information and services to indigenous farm workers is that, of course, the language that they speak, the primary language, is not Spanish, nor does it resemble Spanish. And what is more is that it's not uniformly written. So often the training materials are inadequate or mismatched for what people need. And just to show you the diversity of the partnership on the project, and very present in the project from the start and currently is the participation of the indigenous farm workers on the project, whether it is community advisory or people on the staff making decisions about our steps. So I mentioned to you that the project that we're working on has two phases, and we've completed the first phase through a funding through NIOSH. And in that project, we spent 4 years together with most of the same partners, first going to indigenous farm workers in the communities where we work to determine what are their priorities about occupational health and safety. And then together developed some strategies to try to address that. And I guess as a sidestep, I'll say that we were terribly surprised by one of the comments or feedback regarding occupational health and safety, because I won't get into it here, but one of the things that the women farm workers identified was sexual assault harassment in the workplace, which is a separate project that then we're working on aside from this. But that's a real problem for workers as well. So some of the key findings from the first phase is, of course, that they were concerned about pesticide exposure. They are, to this day, very concerned about field sanitation, lack of potable water cups, access to toilets in the field. That's still an ongoing problem for farm workers and indigenous farm workers as well. And they talked about the mismatch in the training that is available and what they thought that they needed, and that they couldn't take full benefit of the training that was available. So in the second phase of the project, now funded through NIH, it's a 5-year grant, and we have two major aims. The first was to develop and then implement a 3-part intervention, basically, with the community. And the Promotoras program that we have is central to that effort. And Virginia Ruiz, who's with FJ and a partner on the project, will be talking more about some of the interventions that we've used. And so in this project, we're trying to not only develop the intervention, but also determine the effectiveness through not just self-report, but to see if through biomonitoring there will be a result in reduction of pesticide-induced oxidative stress. And the methods that we're using in that is, so we use the, we have a three test that we do, 3-part test that we do with the workers at the pretest stage, and that we obtain worker demographics, health belief, and worker knowledge. Then at that same initial pretest, we obtain bias samples through our science partners. And that is on saliva and on urine. And then the promotoras in the group that receives the intervention provide a training. The people who are in the other group receive a standard EPA worker protection training by video. Then during the 6 weeks in between, the promotoras then follow up with the individuals who received the intervention training, and then there's a post-test where the bio-testing is repeated, and then we also do a post-test on knowledge and belief. So in our, we did a pilot, and the information here is from our first year of testing. We had 62 participants who they self-reported as being indigenous. And the pesticide training was then provided through the promotoras to 30 of those individuals, and the others, 32, were in the other group that received the standard training. Just a word about the promotoras, and perhaps, Virginia, you're going to talk more in depth about this. The promotoras were employed and on staff of the project during their performance work with us. And we had curriculum that was developed in collaboration with the partnership that they used during the training for the workers. And the training was sensitive to the fact that people cannot necessarily read or write in any language. So this is a sample of the knowledge questions that I mentioned that we ask during the pre and post to compare what people may have gained from the training. And the questions are largely adapted from the WPS, except for we added some additional questions, for example, I think regarding the REI and just how often should employers provide the training. As you know, the training in WPS is every 5 years, at least in Oregon, that is how it's implemented. And here we asked if it is every 10 years. And I think it's a question that a lot of people got wrong because they didn't know how often the training should be provided. And the truth of the matter is few of them received the training in the first place. So at the end of the first year, the information here is the post-knowledge test. I guess the point in this slide, as you can see, is that those who participated in the intervention group increased their knowledge at a higher average than the control group, as you can see. And as I mentioned, few people received training pre-test before in other circumstances. And as you can see, 37% or so of control group indicated that they had received any training, and 56% of those who were in the intervention group indicated that they had received any training. And as you can see, looking at the pairwise comparison, the intervention group showed a significant difference from the baseline to post, while the control group didn't. I have a couple of additional slides on people's health belief. This is another thing that we try to engage with the workers. And what this shows is that I think we were able to increase the awareness of people regarding presence of pesticide in the field. As you can see by these numbers, the intervention group increased from 26.7 to 47.8, an increase of 20%. And to the extent that one may think that people's awareness of presence of pesticide may motivate them to self-protect, that may be useful. I guess same thing about this slide, about belief that they may suffer from exposure in the future. And as you can see, the numbers went up with additional information. So as to our next steps for the project, we're currently analyzing the information gained from 2011 sample. In 2011, we aimed for 100 participants, and we managed to have 102 who were eligible. It was larger than that, but ended up with 102. And I think that the return for the post-testing was quite strong at 90% or so. And we again did the intervention with the promotoras with the intervention group. And we made some changes in the second year in that we added to the intervention, but we asked for participation of those testing to participate for blood sampling. We didn't know how that would that be received by the community. We talked to our advisory quite a bit about that and with the community ahead of time, and they were supportive. And to our surprise, 70% of the participants actually participated in that aspect. And so we will be back to you, hopefully, soon to report on what we found in the second year. Thank you.